Ever find yourself maybe reacting in ways you wish you hadn't, where you've got that nagging inner critic just going on and on?
Yeah, it feels like running on autopilot sometimes.
Exactly. Like we're
Yeah.
bound by these invisible rules we never actually, agreed to. But what if real freedom, personal freedom, was about revisiting just a few key ideas?
Well, that's what we're digging into today.
Today, we are doing a deep dive into a modern classic. Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements, a practical guide to personal freedom.
A book many people have heard of, maybe even read.
For sure. But our mission today is to go a bit deeper, look at the nuances, the real applications of this ancient Toltec wisdom. We're drawing from summaries, analyses, trying to get the full picture.
And help you really integrate these ideas, make them practical.
So for those who've maybe skimmed it or heard about it, it really offers this unique way of looking at things, doesn't it? This idea that our lives are built on, well, agreements, like internal contracts.
Precisely. And understanding where these agreements come from is key. Ruiz, he's drawing from his lineage, the Toltec.
Right, the Toltec people from southern Mexico, known as
Yeah.
people of knowledge.
Exactly. So his work isn't just philosophy. It's grounded in these ancient practical teachings. A code for living, really. The book is sort of a conduit for that wisdom.
So it's practical, not just theory. And the main idea is that these agreements shape our whole lives, agreements with ourselves, others.
With God, with society,
Right.
everything. And the impact is just fundamental.
How so?
Well, these agreements literally build the framework of your reality.
Right.
They dictate how you see yourself, what you believe you can do, how you think people should act, even your basic sense of self-worth. So if you feel stuck or you're always fighting yourself internally, Ruiz suggests it's probably tied directly to these agreements you've made, often without even realizing it. They're like the operating system you're running on.
And wow, did this book resonate? Published back in 97, but it just took off, especially after Oprah featured it,
Right,
right?
absolutely. She had it on her show in 2001, then Super Soul Sunday in 2013. That kind of exposure is
It
massive.
wasn't just sales, it was cultural, wasn't it?
Yeah, totally. Over a decade on the New York Times bestseller list, something like 15 million copies just in the
My
US,
rebel.
and translated into 53 languages, Spanish, French, German, Chinese, you name it. Available in every format imaginable, hardback, ebook, audiobook, even a card deck.
It clearly struck a universal chord, became a pathway for millions looking for something different.
And it really did.
Okay, so let's get into how these agreements actually form, because that seems to be where the trouble starts. Our sources point out that it begins in childhood, right? We absorb behaviors,
Yeah,
beliefs.
from family, friends, culture. We use our attention to learn what's acceptable, what isn't. We basically agree to agree with what we're told is true.
And that leads to problem.
Well, this is where it gets tricky. We develop what Ruiz calls an image of perfection. We internalize all these ideas of good, bad, right, wrong.
And then we try to live up to it.
Exactly. But humans aren't perfect. So we inevitably fall short of this internal standard we've created.
Ah, and that's the inner critic, that not good enough feeling.
That's it. It's not just about failing others, it's about constantly failing this internalized ideal, this image of perfection.
So a lot of our feeling inadequate comes from these early agreements we didn't even consciously make. That's quite a thought.
It is. And Ruiz stresses that the most important agreements are the ones we make with ourselves.
How do those define us?
They define almost everything. Your personality, the way you talk to yourself, your gut reactions, they're all expressions of these core personal promises or beliefs.
So if you've agreed deep down that you're not smart or unlovable,
Then that belief acts like a filter. Every experience, every interaction gets interpreted through that lens. These self-agreements are the most potent because they literally create how you experience your life, inside and out.
okay, that gives us a solid foundation, understanding how these agreements shape us. Now, let's get into Ruiz's solutions. The four agreements themselves, starting with number one.
The first one is be impeccable with your word.
Impeccable. People hear that and think perfect, right? Flawless.
Right. But Ruiz digs into the word's origin. Impeccable comes from Latin. Peccatus means sin, and im means without.
So without sin.
Literally, without sin with your word.
That shifts things. Sin here isn't religious judgment, but acting against yourself.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Any way you use your word that diminishes you or others, your word is this incredibly powerful tool, a creative force.
So how do we misuse it
Yeah.
beyond just, telling lies?
Oh, constantly. Self-judgment, harsh criticism of ourselves or others, gossip. even breaking small promises to ourselves. Ruiz has this great analogy for gossip. He calls it a computer virus for the mind.
A computer virus? How so?
It doesn't just spread negativity outward. It actually corrupts your internal state. It wastes mental energy, reinforces negativity, makes you reactive instead of intentional. So being impeccable means choosing consciously, using your word to build, to empower, to align with truth and integrity, especially towards yourself, recognizing the creative power in what you say and think.
That definitely sheds light on how easily we can sort of poison our own well. Okay, building on that, the second agreement, don't take anything personally. This seems linked to those self-agreements we just talked about.
Absolutely linked. Ruiz says something quite provocative here. He claims taking things personally is the ultimate act of selfishness.
The selfishness, why?
Because it assumes everything someone else says or does is fundamentally about you.
Ah.
But his point is, everyone is living in their own dream, their own reality, shaped by their agreements, their beliefs, their emotional state. What they do or say is almost always a reflection of their inner world, not an objective statement about you.
That's a major perspective shift, and honestly a tough one. If someone snaps at me, my gut reaction is to feel hurt or defensive. How do you actually live that, not take it personally?
Well, the key is realizing that when you do take it personally, you're assuming they see the world like you do. You're trying to pull them into your reality or react as if their words perfectly reflect your truth.
Which leads to defending yourself, getting offended.
Creating conflict. Making mountains out of molehills because we feel this need to be right or validated. Mm. But their reality is theirs. Yours is yours.
So grasping that separation is like building an emotional shield.
In a way, yes.
Yeah.
It stops so much emotional poison, as he calls it, from getting in. You start to realize that even your own opinions about yourself are just agreements, maybe not even true. People aren't always truthful, even with themselves. So what others say about you might stem from their stuff, not yours.
It frees you up from needing that constant external validation or invalidation.
Exactly. You become the primary source of your own validation.
Powerful. And that flows right into number three. Don't make assumptions. This feels like something we all do constantly, maybe without even noticing.
All the time. And it's a huge driver of unnecessary suffering. We assume we know what someone else is thinking or feeling.
Right? Yeah, we fill in the blanks.
Then we believe our assumption is the gospel truth. We react to it, often taking it personally.
Going back to the second agreement?
Exactly. And then we might lash out, blame, send that emotional poison with our words, all based on something we just made up in our head.
And why do we do that? Is it just easier than asking?
Often it stems from fear, Ruiz suggests.
Mm-hmm.
Fear of asking for clarification, fear of looking silly, fear of hearing an answer we don't like. We assume others think like us, feel like us, judge like us. Then we get invested in defending our assumption just to feel right.
And the solution he offers seems so simple, but maybe not easy. Just ask questions.
Ask questions. Find the courage to ask until things are genuinely clear. Don't settle for vagueness.
That takes guts, though. It means admitting you don't know, being vulnerable.
Immense courage, yes. But think about the payoff. When you bravely seek clarity, you short-circuit that whole assumption-reaction cycle.
You get the real story, hopefully.
You get the truth, or at least their truth. And you eliminate the need for all that stressful guesswork. It prevents so many misunderstandings, so much conflict, both with others and, importantly, inside yourself. You operate from clarity, not projection.
Okay, that makes sense. Which brings us to the fourth and final agreement. Always do your best. This sounds almost obvious, like, of course do your best.
It sounds straightforward, but there's a crucial subtlety here. Your best isn't some fixed high-performance standard.
Ah, right. He emphasizes that it changes.
Constantly, moment to moment, day to day. Your best, when you're healthy and rested, is very different from your best when you're sick or stressed or tired.
So the key is recognizing that fluctuation.
Recognizing it and accepting it without judgment. That's the core insight.
So it's about avoiding the extremes. Like, don't push so hard, you burn out.
Right. Trying to do more than your current best actually wastes energy, runs you down, and ironically makes things take longer.
But also, don't slack off. Doing less than your best leads to
frustration, self-judgment, guilt, regret, that feeling of I could have done more, or I should have tried harder. It's finding that sweet spot for this moment.
And he connects this to motivation too, doesn't he? Something about rewards.
Yes, it's fascinating. He argues most people only really act when they expect a reward.
Mm.
But that attachment to the outcome actually hinders them from truly doing their best in the process.
So what's the alternative?
Do it for the sake of doing it. Find enjoyment in the action itself, in the engagement, not just the potential prize at the end. The rewards often come anyway, but you're not attached to them.
That sounds like shifting from work to play, almost. Effort to flow.
That's a great way to put it. And this agreement, always do your best, is critical for the other three.
How so? Why is it the enabling one?
Because you won't always succeed perfectly with the first three. You will sometimes use your word poorly. You will sometimes take things personally. You will sometimes make assumptions. It's human.
Okay.
But you can always do your best to apply them. This fourth agreement provides the grace. It says, okay, you slipped up. Now in this next moment, just do your best again.
So it stops the first three from becoming this impossible standard that just leads to more self-criticism.
Exactly. Without always do your best, the framework could feel rigid and discouraging. With it, it becomes a path of continuous practice, effort, and self-compassion. It allows for growth without demanding perfection.
Okay, that ties it all together beautifully. But the agreements are tools. The goal is personal freedom. How does Ruiz suggest we actually break those old limiting agreements we talked about earlier?
It's a process, definitely. But he says the very first essential step is awareness.
Just noticing.
Just noticing. Becoming conscious that you're not entirely free. Recognizing the patterns, the limiting beliefs, the invisible chains of those old agreements. You can't change what you're not aware of.
Yeah.
That awareness is the first crack in the facade.
And then once you're aware, it's about facing the fears tied to those agreements. He says something like, each fear faced makes you a little freer.
Yeah, it's about actively confronting them. Stepping out of the comfort zone defined by those fear-based rules that tell you what you supposedly can't do or what you don't deserve.
How do you do that practically?
The key, he says, is to stop feeding the fear. That means getting a handle on your emotional reactions, not letting fear dictate your choices or your words. Every time you choose courage, choose action despite the fear, you weaken the hold of that old agreement.
It sounds like emotional discipline, almost like reparenting yourself.
That's a good way to think about it. It's an active, ongoing process.
So if we really grasp this, if we see that the drama, the struggle in our lives, often comes from these beliefs, these agreements, and realize those beliefs might not even be objectively true.
And you gain the power to change them. That's the ultimate liberation.
Realize the suffering, the conflicts, the limits are largely self-imposed.
Exactly. And if they're self-imposed through agreements, then you, by changing the agreements, can change your experience. You step into radical personal responsibility. You become the author, not just the actor, in your own life.
That's where the freedom lies. Not necessarily changing the world, but changing the internal agreements that shape how you experience the world.
That's the core of it. True personal freedom.
Yeah. Well, we've really unpacked a lot today, diving deep into the simple yet profound wisdom of Don Miguel Ruiz's The Four Agreements.
For those familiar with the book, hopefully this added some new layers or renewed your commitment.
And if you're new to it, maybe this deep dive gives you a powerful starting point for some real personal insight.
It really offers practical tools.
Definitely. So maybe a final thought for everyone listening. If our reality is built on these agreements, many made unconsciously, think about this.
What's just one agreement you hold, maybe one that limits you or fuels that inner critic that you could start re-examining today?
Just one. What could change if you consciously chose a new agreement? A small step towards reclaiming a piece of your personal freedom.
It's a powerful question to sit with.
Absolutely. And we really encourage you, if this resonated, to explore Don Miguel Ruiz's book further. Continue that personal journey.